33 years, that's a long time. That's a lot of memories. There's a lot of things to gather together in one's lifetime. But even when I add that on to the rest of my life, there's even more so to remember. And since this is a time of graduations and celebrations, I want to share with you something that happened to me at my high school graduation. I graduated with a class of over 500. I didn't know a lot of my classmates. In fact, when we set up for rehearsal, I didn't know the person sitting left of me or to the right of me, which seems to be a sad thing. I mean, here I've gone through school 12 years, but you have to understand, in our school district, I don't know how many elementary schools there were, and then we were all melded into one school for sixth grade, and then they weren't ready yet to get us out to the junior high, so we kept at the same school for seventh grade, but then after that, we went to junior high for eighth and ninth, and then we were all put together in the senior high years, 10th, 11th, and 12th. So there were a lot of kids in my class I didn't know very well. But at graduation time, we went through our rehearsals, and those that were chosen to speak were going to speak and all these things. And so on the day of graduation, they lined us all up, and we were all ready to go outside into the football stadium, and it downpoured. So they sent us back, and we all went back to our old homerooms. And we sat there for a good 15, 20 minutes until somebody over the loudspeaker said, "Well, we're not going to have graduation ceremonies. You'll pick up your diplomas and go home." So I never graduated. But that was kind of, it was a bizarre way to end 12 years. But a kind of a fun way to be able to tell a story of something that happened to me. As you look around and as you see each other, I wonder how well you know the person who's sitting next to you. If it's your spouse, I hope you know them very well. But you know, especially because of the fact that now we are worshiping through this summer period. By the way, how's it going? Are you adjusting to the fact that there are people that may be sitting in your regular chair? Are you at home with the fact that there are people here that you haven't normally seen on a Sunday because some of you come at 8:30 and the others come at 11? And here you are, we're all together, and one of the things I really would suggest, and I know this meets with hearty resistance, but is to put your name tag on. So you'll make it a lot easier for people to see who you are. But maybe you don't want to reveal that about yourself. It's as if somehow by showing your name, you're going to risk something that may happen. And you know what might happen? You might start a relationship of getting to know somebody. That's one of the wonderful things about the ministry and all the places that I've been and the people that I've met throughout the time that I've served in congregations. And a very special place that I served for about 6 years was as a long-term care chaplain at a Lutheran home. It was called Lutheran Care. After years of being called the Lutheran Home of Central New York, so they also went through a name change. And we had about a residency of about 400 in various states of care. And one of the amazing things about being connected with people and the blessing that I received was by being able to go, and when folks were received, they would let me know, and I would go and welcome them, and then begin a relationship to talk with them and let them know they have a chaplain there. If they didn't have a pastor, if they did, that I would be more than happy to contact their pastor to have them come and visit them. But I got to know some pretty interesting people. In fact, all of them were God's children. But let me just share a couple stories of people that I met. I walked in one gentleman's room, and there was a picture of a ship. Obviously, he was in the Navy. And I'm not, I don't know the differences of the classifications of ships, and I just walked in the door, and I said, "Hello, Mr. So-and-so, how are you?" And we started talking. I said, "I see a picture of a ship up there." He says, "Yes, that's a destroyer." I said, "Oh." He said that was a very special place that I served during World War II. And I said, "I imagine then you must have seen some action." And he said, "Well, it was towards the end of the war, but one of the things that we did was our ship was the one that was designated to take the surrendering party of the Japanese to the battleship Missouri." He was a part of history, something that played an important role to the conclusion of such a terrible time. In other cases, I met two women who were part of an order of nuns in the Anglican Church from the St. Margaret's House, which had was a place not too far away, and got to learn about them and their ministries and what unique individuals they were in the sense of how caring they were, even though they were in such a frail state. And then there were just people from all backgrounds and understanding. There were African Americans, and there were Indians. There were folks that came from different. There were actually more Roman Catholics in a Lutheran home than there were Lutherans. And they got to know me, and they began to be part of the worshiping community that we would have. And I got to the point of being able to know when they were going to the hospital, or the staff would let me know, and we would make the rounds and the visits and make the connection, and also connect with their clergy if they had any. And I got to know how they were involved in their churches. What a blessing. What a blessing to see and to witness and experiencing the love of these individuals. But that's life. We have those opportunities every day when we encounter individuals, whether it's at work or at home, or we're just driving along and we see somebody that's standing there, go down after you get off of 131 onto Wealthy Street. And every time I go down, every Wednesday, there's a woman standing there with saying, "I need help." I feel like I've gotten to know her rather well over time. One of God's children. In our gospel reading for today, we have the story of Simon, a Pharisee, who for some reason invites Jesus to his house for dinner. We don't know what the reason is. We can maybe assume that he was curious about Jesus, wanting to see if he were a prophet, because he kind of raises that question when the woman comes in. But can you imagine, here are all these officials that are sitting around this table, and they're lounging. It's not like how we sit, but it's kind of as they're kind of almost laying, but with their, you know, faces towards the table, and they're laying so that their feet are wrapped behind them. And as they're talking, this woman comes in, and she breaks open this jar of ointment, so that just fills the air, and she is weeping. Now, how could you not notice somebody like that? And then what she does is she begins to, she's crying on Jesus' feet, and she's washing his feet with her tears, and then she takes her hair and wraps it around his feet and dries them, and then begins to place this ointment on him. This would have been an outrageous act. This is something that goes against all norms of the day. And as they're sitting there and watching this, Simon is gathering up his perceptions of who this woman is, and maybe he does know her, but he begins to think that, you know, if Jesus really knew who she was, he wouldn't let her touch him or be doing these kinds of things. And for as much as he was beginning to think that Jesus wasn't a prophet, it's Jesus that says, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And then Simon says, "Teacher, speak." And so he tells him this story about two people who couldn't forgive it, whose debt couldn't be forgiven. They couldn't pay it, and it was forgiven. And he says, "Which one was the one that loved the person who forgave more?" And Simon answered by saying, "The one who owed more." And Jesus says, "You're correct." And then this is the key here. He says, "Do you see this woman? Do you see this woman?" That's an important question. Do you see each other? Do you see who's here? All Simon could see is how he understood who this woman was and what her reputation, and we assume he must know she is someone who is rather reputable. But all he could see was her sinfulness. He couldn't see her for who she was, forgetting where his manners were at the same time. Because Jesus points it out to him that while she has been weeping and washing his feet and kissing his feet, he at the same time has not been the proper host, because he failed to offer Jesus water for his feet, because the roads were dusty. They would wash their feet before entering the house. He failed to kiss him as a means of greeting. So it's almost as if Simon wanted Jesus to be here, but kind of, was just kind of a, I don't know, maybe it was just an afterthought, but didn't really think about how he would have greeted everybody else. Because all Simon could think of was why this woman was here. Now, could you imagine if somebody came in that looked a little different into our congregation and our gathering right now? That maybe didn't smell very good, that didn't wear very good clothing, that was a little out of the ordinary. How would we perceive them? Does this person belong here? What thoughts would we have? And I believe the point of the whole gospel is that all of us are sinners. There's not one of us that cannot point a finger and see those other three pointing back at us, saying that, yes, I'm a part of this, the problem here too. That there are moments that is, as much as I feel that I am, I am a faithful and devout steward of God's mission as a pastor in Christ who has served for 33 years, I also know that there have been many times that I've failed to carry that out. And we see to what degree, however, as the conversation after all this stuff goes on, it's not so much about who the woman is, it's what Jesus does, and he says, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." And then they begin to say, "Who is this that can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins?" Jesus can forgive sins. We go to the story of David, and he does a terrible thing. But in the end, did you hear the words of what Jesus or what Nathan says to David, even though he says, "You are the man," and David basically sets out his own sentence, not realizing that he has set himself up. And Nathan says, "You are the man." And we could have Nathan here today pointing to each of us saying, "You are the man, you are the woman, you are the child, you are the ones who are the sinful ones who have gathered up that last lamb, kept it for yourself." And even though David did a terrible, terrible thing, in the end, Nathan says to him, "God has put away your sin." But most importantly, what I hear today, especially when I listen to that passage from Paul, is the fact that he says, if we seek our justification through the law, then Christ has done, his death means nothing. It's meaningless. What he is saying is that if we base all the things that we do according to the law and we point at each other saying, "You are a sinner and you are not worthy," that ultimately, what was the point of Jesus dying on the cross? For that is where the grace is poured out to us. And so as much today as I strive, as I try to be who I am, to be a servant of God, in the midst of my failings, I understand that it is God who opens my eyes to see who it is that I serve. And I know it's been a year, and there's still many of you I do not even know by name. I have to kind of look at your name. That's helpful, the name tag. And I still don't know some of you very well. It's hopeful in this journey that we will come to that place where you will know me well and I will know you well. But we have to take the time to do that. So I'm going to ask you to do something, and we're not going to do it during this moment of the message, but what I'm going to ask you is that when we come to the place of the peace, oftentimes it has become a thing of rote that we do. We say passing of the peace. Some people call it upset the fruit basket because everybody's going all around and shaking hands. And we kind of do peace, peace. You know, we're trying to grab as many hands as we can. What I want to suggest to you is just focus on a few people around you or to someone you don't even know very well. And I want you to go up to them and I want you to look at them in the face and say, "Dale, peace be with you." Thank you, Dale. Look at them. See in their eyes that they indeed are a child of God, just as you are. See in their eyes that they are a forgiven child of God, just as you are. See in their eyes that we are one in Christ. Amen.